Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alamin Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim Assalatu Wassalamu Ala Rasulih Sayyidina Muhammad Wa Ala Alihi Wa Ashabihi Ajma'in Fa'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitanir Rajim Bismillahirrahmanirrahim Inna Allaha Wa Malaikatahu Yusalluna Ala An-Nabiyyi Ya Ayyuhalladhina Amanu Sallu Alaihi Wa Sallimu Taslima Allahumma Salli Ala Sayyidina Muhammadin Wa Ala Ali Sayyidina Muhammad Barik Wa Sallim Subhanaka La Ilma Lana إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم اللهم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين والحمد لله رب العالمين وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إن الله اختار لي أصحابا وأنصارا وأصحارا أو كما قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. My dear friends, for today I want to share with you the difference between us in the 14th or 15th Islamic century compared to those people that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose to enjoy the companionship of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I'm sure there are people out there, many of them. I wouldn't even dare to allow this thought to pass through my mind, simply because I know the background as to why I will not do it. What is this thought? Perhaps it crossed your mind. Okay, how I wish I was living in the time of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sometime when we read about him and the qurbani of the sahaba ikram, the thought does pass the mind. How I wish I was living at that time, I would have been far better off compared to right now in this particular era. Look around you, what do you see? Nothing but chaos, nothing but fitna. In the name of Islam, in the name of Deen, lot of fitnas are promoted. You can see it happening right now, especially in this part of the year. And the sad state of affairs is, look around you, it is difficult to sometimes identify a person who is a Muslim. Am I correct? Because people normally say, dressing doesn't make a Muslim. My dear friends, the bottom line is, appearance is very, very important in the Deen of Islam. What is appearance? How to adorn your body? The type of clothes that you wear? And so on and so on and so on. There's a lot of issues there. These are the starting points. Because go out there, what do you see? You see two people, exactly the same outfit, exactly the same facial appearance, you know I'm talking about. Right? No sign of Islam on his face. And you now wonder, he's a total stranger, must I make salam to him or no? Am I correct? At least if there is some facial appearance, then you will make salam. I know many occasions I'm sitting in the doctor's surgery and lots of people are there waiting their turn. And even the females, mashallah, difficult to even identify Musalman or nahi. Am I correct? It's after when you're sitting there waiting, getting bored, waiting for your turn to come, and then slowly some conversation starts, and then you start with what? By what's your name? Ismail Dawood Qasim. Then you make assalamu alaikum. I remember one time, it was amusing. I was sitting in Atakaf in the Mirbank Masjid when I was the Imam there in the 80s. And somebody came to the Masjid. And he entered, he made assalamu alaikum. Now when they make assalamu alaikum, that's not a Musalman salam. The alif is missing. Where's the Imam? Where's the Maulana? So there were lots of guys there in the Atakaf, they said, there's he in that corner. So he came and he made same kind of salam. He says, Maulana, I came for help. I'm in dire straits. I'm from Phoenix. So someone said, I must come to you. So I looked at him top to bottom. Allahu Akbar. It was difficult now to identify a Musalman. Just because of the type of words he used or the pronunciation of salam. Then I asked him, what's your name? So he said, example, Ismail. Where are you from? Phoenix. Which area? So and so. Now I'm still doubtful. I'm very doubtful about this character. Let's pause for a moment here, Sharif. We just pause here. One night I'm fishing at the maiden wharf with my then brother-in-law and my then cousin, now brother-in-law. Now he was a lightiki. We used to go fishing maiden wharf. We sit there late night, 2 hours alone, minding nobody's business. And here comes one guy, sorry, forgive my term, darker than midnight. He made the same kind of salam. I looked at him and I ignored him. I got no time to waste with somebody I don't even know. So I didn't reply to salam because the salam wasn't, you know, in my heart there was some tick tick here. Alright. Now he noticed that this fellow ignoring me, and he is a Musliman looking for me, appearing me that is me now. So he's forcing himself to converse with me, so I'm still ignoring him. Then I said, okay, by where you stay? I stay in Mewal. I said, fine. Then I just threw random, you know Ismail Dawood Qasim so and so? No, but he said, he mentioned the other name. Then I said, do you know Kalema? Who's he, where he stays? End of story. But here this guy for Ataka. Now I'm doubtful. I want to help, but thing is now I must verify. So I said, but sit down. Tell me, do you know Kalema? First ask him names, you know, people. Do you know Kalema? He says, yes, I know. And he sat down like that 6-year-old boy in the front of the Apa Ustad. And he started, and believe you me, I was embarrassed. Awwal Kalema Tayyab La Ilaha. What's my body? Illallah Muhammadur. I said, na ye Musalman, mashallah. There's it. So what I'm saying is, look at us, our condition, and it's difficult to identify. Put aside the few and far between, we're talking about the general masses out there, so difficult. Anyway, the thought does pass the mind, how I was living in the time of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now when we examine the statement I read just now in the beginning, Allah's Nabi said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, indeed Allah ta'ala selected me, in brackets, to be his most important creation. A lot of detail in them, skipping that part. And Allah selected for me my companions. And He selected for me my helpers. And He selected for me my relatives. What's the words here? Allah chose me, and Allah selected me, and selected for me my companions. What does it mean now? Allah in His wisdom exactly chose those people that definitely qualified to enjoy the company of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How so? Look at the lives of these people. From the time they entered the deen of Islam, from the time they gave the hand in the hand of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the moment they committed themselves to La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, the entire life was the embodiment of Quran and Sunnah. Yes, now and then they did have some minor failing, I'll call it minor. And that too, once and far between. If somebody committed one mistake, khuda ki qasam, you won't find a second man doing the same thing. Because the reprimand that will come from the top was so strict and so harsh, I'll use the term. The reprimand was very severe, that a second person will not dare to commit the same kind of error. This was the beauty of those people. And the bottom line, I'll do it now before I come to later on. The bottom line was, after 23 years of qurbani and total devotion to Allah, to qala Allah and qala Rasul, these people earned for themselves one certificate given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, first and foremost exclusive to them. And I'm going to prove what I'm saying from the Quran. Another important point, I have an obsession for Quran, one passion for Quran. And I'm trying to promote the Quran for many, many years now, but sad to say, we're not getting enough takers. You need to open this kitab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and try to understand what is Allah's message in here. You and I will do everything under the sun to learn everything about everything. But where is the effort that you and I are making to understand Allah's message? And that was the khubi of the sahaba ikram. In fact, Allah's Nabi did say one time, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a time will come in the future when nothing of the Quran will remain but the words. Nothing of Islam will remain but the name. You know, I'm sure you heard the name Imam Hassan Basri, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh. I remember many years ago, Mawana Abdul Hafiz Makki, Dhamat Barakatum, sitting here on this same chair. It was after Isha, there was a bayan here, and that was the first time I set eyes on this man. And there was one thing bugging me for many, many years. I'm a historian, Arzak, you know that, ne? I love history, mashallah. And I do a lot of reading even now. I will not go to sleep until I read something. And there was something bugging me, and I was searching for the answer. Excuse me. We all know, as per information given by Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if you ask the question, among all the sahaba, who is the outstanding star? What's the answer, mister? Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. Everyone knows that. And then we got the list 1, 2, 3, 4. Now the same question I used to ask among the next generation, who are they? Tabi'in. Who is number one? We got the Sahaba. And the Sahaba's number one list came from the tongue of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It came from his tongue, so we got no problem there. When you come to next generation, who's gonna tell us? Now in my historical research, Mr. Parak, I listed three people. Okay, these are the top three. Who are the top three? Uwais Karni, heard the name? Who's number two? Umar ibn Abdul Aziz. We heard of Khulafa Rashidin, Abu Bakr, Umar, Usman, Ali. And the scholars are unanimous that the Khulafa Rashid number five is Umar ibn Abdul Aziz. The man who restored the glory of Islam as in the time of his great grandfather Umar ibn Khattab, radiallahu ta'ala. And who is the third personality? Imam Hassan Basri, rahmatullahi ta'ala ali. No time for detail. I need a couple of hours to sit here. I offered other masajid 2 hours bayan in the evening. No takers up to now. So, you all got the hint. Theek hai. So, and I used to always say that these are the top three. Look at Uwais Karni. Quickly, you all know the story. He simply heard from a passing sahabi ki Allah's Nabi lost his one tooth in the battle of Uhud. Now when the man is gone now, he is thinking, it may sound a bit odd, but it's not odd. This is devotion, dedication. I got the full set. My Nabi got minus 32. How can I have the full when he's got minus 32? It's a pity the man is gone. I forgot to ask him, or the idea or the thought never passed my mind. I should ask him which one. And what does he do? He takes one stone and breaks it. I know, sitting one day in Hussein's chair, they asked him how I was jumping. Sitting on the chair with the anesthetic, putting the injection there, AR Khan jumping, because you need that very strong anesthetic to help remove that the tooth of yours. And here is a man who takes a stone, bang, like that. Can you be? This is Ishq and Muhabbat. And then the story goes on. He's thinking, perhaps I broke the rock, the wrong one. He broke the whole lot. Can you do it? This is that devotion. And he heard from the passerby, look after your elderly parents. Quran talks about it too. Obey them. So when he had the desire to meet Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he used to pester his mother, literally, Ma, I want to go Madina Munawwara and meet my beloved Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And ways from Qaran. Qaran is a city or town in Yemen. Now you know how far that is. And the mother would say no, no, and no. And out of obedience to the mother is packing. And one day the desire went so, he said, Ma, please, let me go. I will make arrangement for you to be taken care of in my absence. And very reluctantly she said, right, my son, you can go, but one condition. You go Madina, you only spend one day and you come back the next day. Allahu Akbar. Come on. What was coming now, Mr. Didat? The man makes it to Madina Munawwara. And when he arrives Madina Munawwara, who's absent by? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not there. He's gone on a mission. And the news is, he will return tomorrow. Tomorrow means late. Now, you put yourself in the man's shoe. His mother gave 24 hours. And 24 hours will expire before the Nabi can return to Madina Munawwara sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What will you and I do? Come on. Be honest about it. What will you do? He's coming later on. Okay, I'll tell my mother. But he was a man committed to the command of Allah. Obey your parents. Kalas, and mother said 24, the man was back. This is the khubi. Now compare yourself and myself with those people. And this is a non-sahabi. And Allah Dabi mentioned lots of things about it, no time for detail. So the issue was, who is the greatest among the tabi'in? I showed you three. And like I said, Mawlan Abdul Hafiz Makki was sitting here, down to Barakatum, and may Allah bless him. He put me on the track to show me, right, the man who is number one among the tabi'in, Imam Hassan Basri. No time for detail. Imam Hassan Basri is asked, definition of Islam and Muslim. He is the best among the tabi'in. And Tabi'in is the second generation. You khutbah every Friday we hear, wa khayru ummati qarni, you know it by heart, thumma alladhina yalunahum thumma alladhina, the best of my ummah, those in my era, then the next, and then the next. So my era, sahaba, who's the next? Tabi'in, who's the next? Next one. So, excuse me, he's asked, define Islam and Muslim. You know what was the answer he gave? You'll be shocked now. Imam Hassan Basri is telling us, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, Islam is in the kitab. Which kitab? This one. And where's the Musalman? It's a Musalman in the Kabristan. My friend, how does he come up to that conclusion? The answer is very simple. Here I must thank late Sheikh Ahmad Didat, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi. I'm a small lightiki living in Junction doing his Hafiz Yusuf Bully. And there was a talk given by him, there was a symposium somewhere in Cleveland on the ground. And there were Muslims, Hindus and Christians, all of them giving their point of view, you know, of the religion. So I remember this very carefully, very clearly, because my elder brother did the recording and I didn't go, I was a lightiki, and when the recorder came back, now we're playing that recording at home to listen. And I remember up to this day, mashallah. And he explained in his talk, this is what I'm teaching you now. He said, Islam means total submission to the will of Allah. What are they? Islam means total submission to the will of Allah. And what is a Muslim? The one who submits totally to the will of Allah. Is there any gap there? What is the demand? 100% or 99.99? I'm asking you. See that? 100%. So when Imam Hassan Basri said, Islam is in the kitab, and the Musalman in the Kabristan, what is he telling us? Okay, those that were totally devoted, dedicated, were those people. So much so, my dear friends, there is no Nabi that came in this world, and no teacher born up to this day, till the day of Qiyamah, other than Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who made this statement regarding his sahaba, based on the total devotion and dedication. What did he say? Famous hadith. He was so sure regarding their loyalty to Allah and Rasul. Because Allah is the one that informed him. How did Allah inform him? And here I use the Quran quickly. May Allah give us topic to open. Today, mashallah, you and I got no excuse, because we got enough translations available together with suitable, authentic, reliable Quran tafsir. The most popular one, scholars are quite familiar, Ma'ariful Quran by Mawlana Muhammad Shafi, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, the father of Mufti Taqi Usmani and Mufti Rafi Usmani. And the second popular one, which is ideal, which I will say for us, the lay people, is the one that was written by Mufti Ashiq-e-Ilahi Balansheri, rahmatullahi ta'ala ali, who was from Meerut, India, who Allah ta'ala gave the blessing and the namat of migrating to Medina Munawwara, where he spent the rest of his life, and he passed away there and buried, mashallah, in Baqi. Excellent piece of work, and written in very simple English. And for you youngsters like out there, mashallah, you like to play with your cell phone, nah? Me too, I like to do that. May Allah bless the friend of mine who gave me an E90, say Ameen. Sorry if you know me and my cell phone. Any program I will find, Islamic is in my cell phone. And fortunately for me, Allah bless this friend of mine, I managed to put in there the entire Ma'ariful Quran, Hussain, and Mufti Ashiq-e-Ilahi's commentary. So sitting and doing nothing, sometimes sitting in the car, wife gone to the supermarket, what AR Khan is being? And now, mashallah, you got the netbook, the small one, because that the cell phone too small. And there it is, the finger is on the button all the time. What am I doing? Studying the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when we open Quran, you open para number 11. And the surah is called Surah Tawbah. I want to make a point to you here, my friends. Surah Tawbah, I'll teach you a sabak quickly. Just look at Surah Fatiha first, come on. Right on the top, we got a little border here. Ayatuha 7, meaning 7 ayats. Then is number 1 recorded there. Then is Suratul Fatiha Makkiya, meaning revealed in Makkah. And then there comes the other part in brackets, number 5. The number 1 means in the Quran is the first surah, first page. And number 5 means in terms of Quranic wahi coming down from upstairs. Surah Fatiha is number 5 revelation. Okay, got that? Now let's jump to what I want to share with you. We open para number 10 and we got this famous surah called Surah to Toba. What is so different about this surah quickly? No? Bismillah. Anyway, look at this surah, what are you going to find here? Ayatua 129 in brackets number 9, meaning in terms of the front number 9. Surah Toba Madaniya. And here's the best part. Revelation number 113. How many surahs in the Quran, people? 114. How many? 11. And what's the final surah, Hussein? Idha Jaa Rasulullah Fad. Right, okay. Surah Toba 113. What is telling us? This is the second last surah to come down. In here, the information which Allah is giving us is Allah sent down towards the end. Now that you understood that, now I want to say the most important part. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is making a statement in the same surah, para 11, second page. Allah is saying, listen carefully. وَالسَّابِقُونَ الْأَوَّلُونَ. The first and the foremost. Who? Muslims. And who are they? Those who gave the hand in the hand of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now Allah is defining who these people are. Al-Muhajireen. Every Muslim from Makkah. All of them minus nobody. All of them at the command of Allah left Makkah, left their home, left their families, when the occasion demanded, and relocated to Medina, Munawwara, left their property behind, left everything behind, whatever they could salvage and carry, they went away. It's a big qurbani. Can you and I do it? Allahu Akbar. I remember, perhaps in the mid-60s, when I was going up and down Karanja, Kampala, Mr. Didat, and when Uganda, Idi Amin, the infamous, when he expelled all the Asians from his country, and they were standing on the side of the ship, and these, we're going to call them refugees now, of Indian origin, all expelled from Uganda, and they are taking every available vessel that is moving from Mombasa to Bombay, right, and whatever they got, Allahu Akbar, it was a crime. And here the, mashallah, big fridges and all the big appliances, whatever they can, they bring it, and everything else left behind. Here, many of them only had body clothing, that is all, and a few items in the hand. I'm talking Sahaba Ikram. What was it? Put yourself in that shoe, would you have done that? It was Allah's command to do that, so they did that. Allah is saying, these people are Muhajirin. And the Ansari, who are the Ansari? We know Medina Munawwara, Musliman community. What did they do? They opened their homes, and opened their arms and said literally, Mr. Dira, whatever they possess with the refugee brethren. Why? Allah's Nabi said to them, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what did he tell them? Share with your Makkah brethren whatever you have. If I tell you or you and I are told, share with this fellow what you got, what we'll do? We'll lend him a couple of fans, if he's fitting him, and a couple of items, give a bed to sleep, share the food. That is how far we'll go, and that to Mehman, couple of days, Ushkabad, by move it up from here. Am I right? There's no time for detail. I said, my bayan is a couple of hours. But you'll remember, many of you, when Allah Nabi told, this one Medina man, Abdul Rahman, is your brother. Share with him what you got. And bottom line, Hussein, when the man takes him home, he says, Abdul Rahman, you see that property there? All that acres of land, that plantation, all belongs to me from today, half yours and half mine. Can we do it? That building there is mine, half yours, half mine. And he takes out all his khazana. He says, Abdul Rahman, this gold and silver you see here, half yours, half mine. I take custom and I say this. If I was Abdul Rahim, I said, Jazakallah, I'll take this half. And that house, I'll take that half. And mashallah, with both hands, I'll grab. That's me. Here is a Muslim from Medina who is a Musliman only for about maximum 1 year, not more than that. And his offering, based on Nabi's command, share with him what you got. What is his imani condition? When a Musliman of 1 year is responding like this, what will the reaction of the Musliman of 13 years come on? He's going to grab like AR Khan, icon. And the best part comes now. I'm just reading Chune. Haseena, Jamila, come here. Abdurrahman, these are my wives. Choose the one that you are attracted to, you fancy. Al talaq hai, she'll serve iddat, you make nikah with her. What will you do, Sharif? Come on, let's be honest. Abdurrahman ibn Auf radiallahu ta'ala said, keep your wives, keep your money, keep your house, keep your land. Allah give you barakah. Just lend me a couple of dinar. I'm a merchant by trade. I'll find my way. But I'll stay in your house for a few days until I am. This is the kind of people. So these are Ansaris. And all of them were like that. And of course you got a third Jamaat of Sahaba who are neither Ansari nor Muhajireen. Allah is saying, those who followed in the footsteps of these two. And starts off with the non-Ansar Muhajir. What is their status? That's my point now. Allah is saying, radiyallahu anhum waradu an. Allah became pleased with all of them, and they too in turn will be pleased with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What has Allah given them? Allah has given them a certificate in their lifetime. And you know what was the in-between line in my friend? You'll be surprised. Allah is telling them that you can be rest assured, all of you who are Nabi's companion, Muhammad's companion, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I'm giving you guarantee now, you will depart from this earth with iman. Hussein, understand me very carefully. You will definitely leave the world with iman. If you and I have to ask the same question regarding ourselves, do we have any guarantee? We got any guarantee? I remember that day very well. I'm leaving for the final time from Jalalabad, coming back home, 1969. And I go to shake the hand of Mawlana Masihullah Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Alayhi, and to get his final du'as and bid farewell to him, I'm leaving. So my hand is in his hand, and I'm telling Hazrat, jab ja raha hu, du'a ki darkhas. My request for du'as. He says, theek hai. Jaha jaoge kamyab hoge. Those are his exact words. And Allah Ta'ala has carried me that up till now. Jaha jaoge kamyab hoge, alhamdulillah. Then he's telling me, he says, Moli sahab, aap musafir ho. Musafir dua Allah accepts very quickly. Now you make dua for me. So I'm looking at him, mouth slightly open, eyes are now getting wider. Look at me, look at him, he's Allah wala. And he's asking me to make dua for him. So, I asked him, Hazrat, what? He says, make this dua, ki Allah Ta'ala give me maut with iman. So I'm even more wide-eyed now, Allahu Akbar. And you can read my expression, and was bugging me. So he tells me, he says, Moli sahab, no person has got guarantee that you will leave this dunya with iman. No one got guarantee. Therefore, it's important that you make dua for yourself and for others as well. And the famous dua, all of us have been taught, Allahumma thabbitna alal iman. Allah, keep me firm with iman, wa amitna alal iman, and cause me to die with iman. And raise me Qiyamah Day with iman. So nobody got guarantee. And that made a lot of sense. But what he said, okay, despite the fact he is one in that category, awliya Allah, he is saying we still need the du'as of somebody, ki Allah's mercy must come upon us, descend upon us at the time of our departure. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us maut with iman. So if you and I sitting here ask ourselves the same question, do we have guarantee? How can we secure some guarantee? That's my final question now. If we are in doubt, we're not even sure, we're living on hope, and that's how it's supposed to be. But how can we at least get, you know, they're selling insurance, rest assured and so on, mashallah, to be secure in your mind, how can you and I gain some kind of security? Ke inshallah ul aziz, when the time for my departure come, I can be rest assured, I am going to leave this dunya with iman. Sahaba-e-kiram, each and everyone without fail got it. And the best part, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala declared in their favor, all of them, without exception, you are all jannati khalas. That means you're going to depart from this world with iman. And there was one question I said, you know, I said, no teacher and no Nabi that came in the world had this kind of 100% guarantee regarding his companions or students. You know, that there'll be 100% icona. It's only Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So much so that he was so sure, based on Allah giving the information, he made this important statement, ashabi kan nujum. All my sahabas, without exception, are like stars. Whichever one you follow, فَبِأَيِّهِمْ اِقْتَدَيْتُمْ اِهْتَدَيْتُمْ. Whichever one you follow, you'll be on the straight path. What I'm telling you now, you got 124,000 to 140,000 sahaba, take your pick. Follow anyone, and you'll be on the right track. What is our dua every day? اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ. Do we really concentrate when we sing those words? Allah, give me guidance on the straight path. Which is that path? The path of those upon which walk those people whom you favored. We are saying it, it is just tongue, nothing serious. And if we are serious, then we have to follow in the footsteps of anyone. Allah Dabi didn't say follow the whole lot. He said anyone. فَبِأَيِّهِمْ اِقْتَدَيْتُمْ اِهْتَدَيْتُمْ. Whichever one you follow, you will be on the straight path. There's it. Now, conclusion, quickly, time is running out. How can you and I earn for ourselves the same kind of special title which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave sahaba ikram of radiyallahu anhu? How can we earn it? If we open Quran, you go to the last para number 30, there is a famous surah Bayyina, and it starts with لَمْ يَكُنِ الَّذِينَ كَفْرُوا. Perhaps some imam read that in Isha namaz. Go towards the end. There are many other verses, but I'm just showing you one here, because you are familiar with those words. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ أُولَٰئِكَ هُمْ خَيْرُ الْبَرِيَّةِ جزاؤهم عند ربهم جنات عدن تجري من تحتها الانهار خالدين فيها ابدا. اس کے بعد کیا ہے؟ رضی اللہ عنہم ورضوا عنہ. Simple meaning, Allah is saying, indeed those who brought iman and performed good deeds, all of them will attain goodness. The reward will be in the sight of Allah, Jannah, under which are flowing rivers, in which they shall remain forever. But I want the most important part. Allah is saying regarding those who brought Iman, 100% or 99.99? 100. And those who perform Amal al-Saleh, 100 or 99.99? 100 again. What will be their status? Radiyallahu anhum wa radwan. Allah will also give them the same status. Now, if you and I ask the question, why it is so mushkil, so hard for us to attain that, so let me end with this particular statement made by Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. One day told the sahaba ikram, my dear sahaba, you people are living in such a time, if any one of you abandons, neglects, gives up, puts aside 1/10 of the deen that I brought you, you shall be destroyed. Listen again carefully one more time. He is addressing sahaba-e-kiram. You are living, if any one of you abandons, gives up 1/10 of what I brought you, you shall be destroyed. What does that mean now? Allah Nabi is telling sahaba-e-kiram, for you to pass, you must score 91. If you score 90, you fail. Matriculants are waiting for the results right now, am I correct? And it's a big joke in South Africa, mashallah. You score 33, you pass. Mashallah. I asked this question one day in BD Street, where all the doctors are parking there, and most of the doctors are there. I said, listen people, if you come to know that this particular doctor, when he wrote the medical examination, he passed by 33%. I mean, he scored only 30 and they passed him. Will you go and consult beside a doctor? What does that tell you? The man doesn't know 67%. Therefore, the demand for the medical field in particular is of such high standard. You got to score the high. And the pilot exam is even worse. Am I correct? Here the guy pilot in the plane and he's got what? 300-400 passengers there and if he's got shortcoming, satyanas. Am I correct? So he's telling his people, if you give up 10% of what I brought, you are doomed. Then he said a time will come in the future. If those people make amal on 1/10 of what I brought, they'll find salvation. Can you understand that? Allah Nabi is telling, the time will come and I, A.R. Khan, believe we are in that time now. Like I said, couple hours bayan. We are in that time now. If we can score the 10% which Allah Nabi is saying, we made it. Now how do you work that one out? That's another story. Because when we ask ourselves, concluding now, difficult for me and you to say I'm making 8 or 9. Very mushkil. Think about it. Lots of commands of Allah. Start with the salah itself. Come on. How many of us? No time for that. Allah give me tawfiq. Allah give tawfiq. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept my brief discussion. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inspire one and all. May Allah jalla shanu give us tawfiq to respond totally to the submission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as shown by Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.